So for those who are married, please straighten the rows, turn off your mobile phones. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. لا إله إلا الله خير تبارك. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Salihin will take place. Brothers, you must participate. Inshallah, it will be beneficial. Bakhya dua ke badr sa hadith hoga. Sat shikar tuma, inshallah, zul fayda hoga. Bismillah wa rahmatullahi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina. Sallallahu ala sayyidina wa sallam. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وجعلنا من المرشدين. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وعن فضلك وعن سواك. اللهم أهد نفسي تقواها وزكها. اللهم أهد نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من هم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من جهل والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة ديني وقهر الجهل. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشقاق والنفاق ومن سوء الأخلاق. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ به نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers, elders, last week we completed the chapter in regards to the etiquette of visiting the graveyard and the importance of visiting the graveyard. This week, inshallah, we're moving on to the next chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought,
Once again, it's connected to the chapter of death, or the subject or topic of death. But this is slightly different. This chapter, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, is established, بَابُ كَرَاهِيَّةِ تَمَنِّي الْمَوْتِ بِسَبَبِ ضُرٍ نَزَلَ بِهِ وَلَا بَأْسَ بِهِ لِخَوْفِ الْفِتْنَةِ فِي الدِّينِ. The chapter which discusses that it is disliked and not allowed to desire death, to wish for death due to any difficulty which has befallen a person. If someone goes through some takleef, difficulty, hardship, say, oh, I wish I would die. Yeah? This is disliked, this is prohibited. However, there is no harm if someone desires this, if they fear fitna on their deen. If they fear fitna upon their deen, if a person desires this, then there is no harm. This is the chapter heading Imam Nawawi rahmatullah is established. We'll go through the hadith and explain the points, inshaAllah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت إما محسنا فلعله يزداد وإما مسيئا فلعله يستعتب متفق عليه وهذا لفظ البخاري وفي رواية لمسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت ولا يدعو به من قبل أن يأتيه إنه إذا مات انقطع عمله وإنه لا يزيد المؤمن عمره إلا خيرا. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه رواية فرماته هي. I'll do the translation in Urdu and then I'll go to explain in English. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه رواية فرماته هي كي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا تم میں سے کسی کو موت کا تمنا نہیں کرنی چاہیے. موت کا تمنا نہیں کرنی چاہیے, مطلب موت کا تمنا ایک ہوتا ہے کوئی شخص یہ سوچے کہ موت ہی بس حائل ہے میرے اور اللہ کے درمیان, تو یہ تو ہر عاشق کا ہوتا ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ سے کب میں ملاقات کر لوں, یہ تو الگ مسئلہ ہے. یہ کسی ایسی مشکل حال کی وجہ سے, مشکل حالت کی وجہ سے, مشکل گھڑی کی وجہ سے انسان سوچے کہ بس میں مر جاؤں تو بہتر ہوتا. تو یہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ارشاد فرما رہے ہیں کہ تم میں سے کسی کو موت کا تمنا نہیں کرنی چاہیے اس واسطے کہ پریشانی آ گئی, مصیبت آ گئی, مشکل حال آ گئی. اما محسنا فلعله يزداد, کیوں نہیں, چونکہ اگر یہ شخص نیک تھا تو ہو سکتا ہے اس کی عمر کے اضافے میں اس کو اللہ تعالیٰ نے لمبی حیات نصیب فرمائی, اس کے اندر یہ نیک اعمال زیادہ کرے. تو یہ سوچ رہا کہ اگر میں مر جاؤں بہتر ہوتا, اس کو پتہ نہیں اگر ایک اور سال, ایک اور رمضان, ہر روزانہ پنجگانہ نماز جماعت کے ساتھ, یہ جو جتنی نیکیاں وہ کما سکتا تھا ایک سال کے اندر, وہ اس کے آخرت کے لیے اور بہتر ہوتا اس کی موت سے. وَإِمَّا مُسِيئًا, اگر یہ شخص نیکوکار نہیں تھا, اگر یہ شخص گنہگار تھا, تو ہو سکتا ہے اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو یہ جو اضافہ دیا اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کے زندگی میں, عمر میں, اس میں اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو توبہ کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے. تو اسی لیے کسی کو, چونکہ ہمیں کسی چیز کا علم نہیں ہے کہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی نے ہمارے مستقبل کے اندر کیا چیز لکھ کے رکھا ہے. Nobody has any idea what will happen in the future. تو اسی لیے جس حال, جس گھڑی, جس سچویشن, جس حالت کے اندر اللہ تعالی نے مجھے رکھا ہے, الحمدللہ, ہر وقت الحمدللہ, دل ہی دل میں الحمدللہ. یا اللہ, آپ ہی احکم الحاکمین ہیں, آپ کے سامنے سب کچھ ہے, آپ ہی جانتے ہیں کہ مجھے کیوں اس پریشانی کے اندر, اس مصیبت کے اندر کس وجہ سے اللہ تعالیٰ آپ نے مجھے رکھا ہے, لیکن میں یہ بات ضرور جانتا ہوں کہ اللہ, آپ کبھی میرے حالت کو بگڑنے نہیں دیں گے. یا اللہ, آپ ہی میرے خیر خواہ ہے, آپ ہی میرے خیر خواہ ہے. سیدنا ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ narrates that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has stated that none of you should desire death, none of you should desire death. إِمَّا مُحْسِنًا, if he is someone who is doing good, if he is a righteous person, it is possible that if he has a longer life, Allah Ta'ala will give him the ability to do more good deeds. Right? And if he is مُسِيئًا, if he is a sinful person, then it's highly likely and it's very possible that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give him the ability to make tawbah. So nobody should say, you know what, I wish I was just finished. Because you don't know what the future holds. And in another narration from Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت. None of you should desire death. ولا يدعو به من قبل أن يأتيه. And no one should make dua for death before it comes to them. That, Ya Allah, wish death came to me now. No one should make that dua. Why? Because innahu idha mata inqata'a amalu. Because as soon as a person dies, his actions are cut off. So you're saying, Oh Allah, I wish I died right now. But it's possible in the future you could do such amazing a'mal that you could have made your Jannah in the next year of your life. But you say, Oh Allah, I want to die now. So you've cut off your own a'mal with your dua. So don't make dua for death, because Allah Ta'ala can accept your dua and give you death. But now your opportunity to do good deeds has been cut off. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَزِيدُ الْمُؤْمِنَ عُمُرُهُ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. And indeed, the believer, his life only increases him in good a'mal. The more time Allah gives him in this dunya, the more life Allah Ta'ala gives him, that time is used for good a'mal, and it is just building his akhirah. So in the hadith, two brothers, they passed away. One brother passed away 1 year, next year the next brother passed away. So someone sees in a dream, and the first brother who passed away, he passed away as a shaheed in the path of Allah, he died as a martyr. And the second brother, he passed away as a normal death. But someone saw in a dream that the second brother's status in Jannah is higher. Say, Ya Rasulullah, how is this possible? The first person died as a shaheed, and the second person died a normal death 1 year later. How is his status higher? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did he not live one more year of life? Did he not have one more entire Ramadan? Did he not have so much more opportunities to do good a'mal? It's possible that because of his increase in good a'mal, Allah Ta'ala has elevated his rank. So don't underestimate life. Every second, every minute is an opportunity, golden opportunity. So there is no time to waste. And there is no time for complacency and wasting time. Person should think, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given me a golden opportunity. Forget my past. What happened in the past is past. Allah Ta'ala has given me this time right now. It's a golden opportunity. I can do so much with these. Today I did an experiment, amal. I won't say what it is. I did an experiment. You know, when you read about these pious people, they do these amal hundreds of times. And I was driving, and in that driving, I did that amal. And I thought, subhanAllah, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, we just read how the pious people would read thousands of times some tasbih, and thousands of times this Durood Sharif, and thousands of times this. And sometimes you're like, I can't do that, so I'll do the small amount. See? Well, we never push ourselves. We never push ourselves because we think we're not like them. And that's why we never become like them. A person, Allah Ta'ala has given us so much barakah in time. Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, someone came to him and they said, Shaykh, I don't have time to do dhikr. Shaykh said, what do you mean here? Take this tasbih. And Hazmur Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullahi has written this in his, this incident in his, as a Shaykh Arun Kir Khulafa. He gave him the tasbih, he said, sit down here. And he sat with the tasbih. And as a Shaykh said, you read after me. La ilaha illallah. So he said, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, slowly like this. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. So he's reading, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Ali is reading, Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali. And this person is reading after slowly. After he finished, he says, look at the clock. He said, I looked at the clock hand hadn't even moved. He goes, I told you, yeah, but what are you saying? There's no time. Matlab, you don't have barakah in your time. You don't have blessings in your time. You don't have a timetable, you don't have a routine. If you sat down every day and you sat down at this time and said, I'm going to do dhikr of Allah Ta'ala this time, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens outside, this is my time for dhikr. Allah, you can start off small. And in that time, I remember one of my friends used to tell me, he said, on a daily basis, there was a time when I used to struggle to do 1,000 Durood Sharif. And he says, now I can do 1,000 Durood Sharif in a few minutes. Because I didn't stop, I kept. You know, I kept trying, and Allah Ta'ala unlocks the barakah in time. Time is Allah's makhluq, Allah's creation. Money is Allah's makhluq. All of these things, wealth is Allah's creation. Have halal rizq and be happy. The time that Allah Ta'ala has given you, utilize it wisely. Allah will put barakah in your halal rizq, you will be more. You'll be able to do much more. And the time that Allah Ta'ala has given you, utilize it wisely, Allah Ta'ala will increase that time. Even rizq. How many people go after haram rizq? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, rizq, sustenance, wealth, food, provisions, clothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, inna jibreela, inna ruha al-ameen nafatha fi raw'i, annahu la yamutu rajulun hatta yastakmila rizqaha. O kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, look, Jibreel alayhi wa sallam has just informed me that nobody is going to die until they get every penny that Allah has promised them. Whatever Allah has written for us when we were in the womb of our mother, Jibreel alayhi salam has just told me, Allah has promised, you are not going to die until you get every penny of that.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. So fear Allah and go out and earn your rizq and do it beautifully. I mean, do it beautifully, don't disobey the commands of Allah. وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعَاصِ اللَّهِ. And just because your rizq isn't coming to you right now, مجھے ابھی 1,000 pounds چاہیے, I need 1,000 pounds right now, don't let that drive you to make and try and earn that 1,000 pounds by disobeying Allah Ta'ala. Istibta'ur rizq, delay in rizq coming. Just because the rizq hasn't come to you when you wanted it, don't let that push you towards trying to acquire it through the disobedience of Allah. فَإِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَنْ يُنَالَ بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ. Because whatever is with Allah Ta'ala, you can't get it by disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What Allah has written for you, you can only get it through obedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Go and search for your rizq, your provisions, but do it beautifully. Do it in a way that doesn't contravene, doesn't go against or break the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah will give you your rizq. Allah will give it plentifully, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will put barakah in it. Well, the concept of barakah is lost now. It's lost, first of all, zamana. The zamana is deprived of barakah because it's close to the day of Qiyamah. But we can still create barakah in our own lives through our own piety, through our own connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, through our own staying away from sins, through our own internal sifat, through our own internal qualities, our taqwa, fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, our tawakkul, reliance on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, I only trust Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, our tafweed, معاملات کو اللہ تعالیٰ کے نزدیک سپرد کر دینا. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will do whatever is best. You know, because we have such weakness in our sifat, so physically we can do the 5 times salah and physically we can sit with the tilawat of Quran, but because internally there's such great weaknesses, we don't see our results. Because the internal condition is more important than the external condition. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is narrating here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, none of you should desire death, and none of you should make dua for death before it comes. Why? Because as soon as you die, there's your opportunity to do good a'mal has now stopped. You can't get any more good a'mal. And وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَزِيدُ الْمُؤْمِنَ عُمْرُهُ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. And a mu'min, a believer's life is a more opportunity for him to do good. There's more opportunity for him to do good. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر أصابه فإن كان لابد فاعلا فليقل اللهم أحيني ما كانت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني إذا كانت الوفاة خيرا لي. متفق عليه. سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه روايت فرماتے کہ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ کسی شخص کو موت کا تمنا اس وجہ سے نہیں کرنی چاہیے کہ اس کے زندگی میں کوئی مصیبت پریشانی آ پڑی. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَابُدَّ فَاعِلًا, اگر اس کو موت کا دعا کرنا ہو تو اس طرح کرے, فَلْيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ أَحْيِنِي مَا كَانَتِ الْحَيَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. یا اللہ مجھے زندگی اس وقت تک نصیب فرما جس وقت تک زندگی میرے لیے بہتر ہو, زندگی دنیا میں رہنے میں میرے لیے خیر ہو, اس وقت تک مجھے زندہ رکھ. وتوفنی اذا كانت الوفاۃ خیر لی, اور مجھے موت نصیب فرما دے اگر موت میرے لیے بہتر ہو. سیدنا انس رضی اللہ عنہ is narrating here that the messenger of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has stated, none of you should desire death because of a hardship that has befallen him. This is our day and age now. Depression and all the mental health issues, and the people say, oh, I wish I could die. And people even try and dispatch themselves. So this is very important that we understand. We have no idea what will happen in the future. Person can go through the most difficult of times. But subhanAllah, in the stories of the Prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam, we have such lessons of patience and such lessons of waiting game. Right now it's not happening the way I wanted. Right now everything is a terrible mess. But Allah is a supreme planner. Allah Ta'ala has put me in this test. Look at the life of Ayyub alayhi salam, and the life of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, and the life of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. Such hardships and difficulties, and the life of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Such hardships and difficulties, and it just seemed at times where there was just no way out. Okay? When a person is in a situation, our responsibility is to look for an answer, look for a solution. I'm going through a hardship, is there a solution? Koi rasta hai is pareshani se nikalne ka, koi hal hai. Hamari zimmedari hai ki hum hal ko ڈھونڈیں. اگر حل ہمیں نہ نکلے تو اس کا مطلب یہ نہیں ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے مجھے بس اللہ تعالیٰ has left me to my own devices. اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ now wants me to be patient. If there is a hal, I have to look for that hal. If there is a solution to my problems, my job is to look for that solution. If I don't look for that solution, I'm to blame. You're in a situation, Allah Ta'ala wants you to see, go and acquire a solution. That's why even rizq, you don't have your rizq. If I'm sitting here, say, I don't have money. Wait, go out and earn your rizq. Right? So this is the solution to your problem, to go and search for it. If a person is in a situation where there is no solution, I've been there. A lot of us have been there. We're in a situation where we don't know what the solution is. We don't know. But we are stuck in a very difficult bubble and we can't escape it, and there is no visible or feasible solution or way out. That is a situation which is a clear-cut test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should say, you know what, Allah ta'ala is watching to see how much sabr I will have now. So now is the time to hold firm and say, Ya Allah, I'm going to be a soldier. See? Because my shaykh used to say, every test comes with a time limit, with an expiry date. Every test comes with a time limit, with an expiry date. The more, you understand that. First thing is aqal. Allah Ta'ala has given us aqal so we can understand. This test, there's no solution to it. I've explored all the avenues. There is no solution to this one. No solution that I have discovered. Obviously, there might be a solution that you don't know about. That's beyond you. That's beyond your, you're not mukallaf of that. You're not responsible for that. But I have found no solution to this situation. Now Allah Ta'ala wants to see how beautifully I go through this situation. With how much joy, with how much happiness, with how much akhlaq, with how much character, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, patient in my heart. And then a time will come when the test will go. And subhanAllah, the way the test goes is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person is like, I never expected this to finish like this. I never knew the solution to that was this one. Allah Ta'ala always knew. But Allah Ta'ala was watching me the whole way through week. What do you do? And then Allah Ta'ala took the test away. After the test is gone, now there is no more opportunity to get good deeds. It's finished now. While you had the test, this was your opportunity to prove yourself with sabr to get to such lofty ranks of Jannah. Once the test is finished, now a person says, Alhamdulillah, the problem's gone. But when you had the problem, did you earn that rank, that closeness to Allah Ta'ala that you could have earned? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Ya Allah, you put me through a test. I realize now. I never had a solution then. Now it's gone. Did I manage to become from your beloved servants, those who acquire your close ranks through sabr, and hilm, and sumud, and firmness? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, look, none of you should desire death because of calamity, hardship. Don't ask for death. Because you don't know what is good for you. You don't know what is good for you. You don't know if death is good for you, and you don't know if life is good for you. So what should you do? If you really want to ask for death, what should you do? You should make this dua. Allahumma ahyini ma kanatil hayatu khayran li. Oh Allah, give me life if life is good for me. Give me life if life is good. I don't know if life is good for me or not. Watawaffani, and give me death if death is good for me. See, I'm in a situation where I don't know. Sometimes even parishani on deen. A person is going through, and this dua was taught by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Tabi'i, he mentions that we came to Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the narration of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They said, we came to Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu complaining about Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Complaining, saying that Hajjaj, this tyrant governor, he's causing us so much problems. He's making it very difficult for us to even practice our deen. This is what Hajjaj bin Yusuf is doing. So is it permissible in this situation to ask Allah Ta'ala to give us death? Because these people were so desirous of death. Death is just, like I said, it's a bridge. Jisrun yusilul habiba ilal habib. It's a bridge which connects the beloved to the one that they love. So for them, death was nothing. They weren't scared of death. But they're asking the mas'ala, that is it permissible to make dua for death because Hajjaj bin Yusuf is making it so difficult for us to practice adeen? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, look, isbiru, be patient. First thing he said, be patient. Because I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that every zamana, every time that comes, is going to be worse than the time before it. Every time that comes in the future is going to be worse than the time before it, حَتَّى تَلْقَوْ رَبَّكُمْ, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every era is going to be worse than the one before it, until the day of Qiyamah. So be patient. But then Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu mentioned this hadith. I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that if you really want to ask for death, then ask in this way, that you're not taking matters into your own hands. Oh Allah, give me death. You're leaving matters in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, only you know if death is better for me. And only you know if life is better for me. If death is better for me, please grant me death. And if life is better for me, please grant me, increase me in my life. We'll do the last hadith inshaAllah. I think this is the last hadith of this chapter. وعن قيس بن أبي حازم قال دخلنا على خباب بن الأرت رضي الله تعالى عنه نعوده وقد اكتوى سبع كيات فقال إن أصحابنا الذين سلفوا مضوا ولم تنقصهم الدنيا وإنا أصبنا ما لا نجد له موضعا إلا التراب ولولا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهانا عن ندعو بالموت لدعوت به ثم أتيناه مرة أخرى وهو يبني حائطا له فقال إن المسلم ليؤجر في كل شيء ينفقه إلا في شيء يجعله في هذا التراب متفق عليه وهذا لفظ رواية البخاري. سيدنا خباب قيس بن حبي حازم رحمة الله عليه is a tabi'i. He mentions that we entered into the presence of سيدنا خباب بن الأرت رضي الله عنه. سيدنا خباب بن الأرت from the early مهاجرون, early Muslims who embraced Islam. Okay. Those people who embraced Islam when it was extremely difficult to be Muslim. Extremely difficult. So one of the tabi'un once said to a sahabi that I wish I was alive in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would have done this, I would have done this, I would have done his khidmat like this, and I would have served him like this, and I would have done this. That sahabi said, "Wait, don't make this wish. You don't know how difficult it was for us. When everybody had left our side, the whole of Arabia was against us. And there was a few of us. We did not know what would happen. But Allah Ta'ala gave us victory. And today you see, you know, Muslims are ruling. This was not always the case. So one of those early Muslims, Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu. And he was tortured so much. His master, he was a slave, or he was one of the weak of society, in society. What he would make him do was, he would light a fire on the ground. And he would make him lie down on that fire with his back. And only the meat and the fat would melt off his back and it would extinguish that fire. So this is how he would torture him. And he would say, "Leave Islam. Leave Islam. Leave Islam. Say something against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say something against your deen." And he wouldn't. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and one said, "Oh Khabbab, show me your back." So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala lifted up his clothing and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked and he started to cry. There's no meat on the back of Khabbab. It was just bones. You could see the bones. All the meat had been burnt off because of how much torture he went through. That was Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Qais ibn Hazim, Abi Hazim rahmatullahi alayhi, says, we entered into Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, into his presence. Na'uduhu. We came to visit him. He was sick and we came to visit him. Do his iyadah. وَقَدْ اِكْتَوَى سَبْعَ كَيَّاتٍ. And he had cauterized himself. Cauterized, they don't do it anymore. In those days they would do it. If you had a boil or you had a certain type of a wound, they would get a hot iron or something like that and they would press it against it to seal it up. So it's called cauterizing. They don't do it anymore. I think it's benefits and pros and cons. But they would do it in those days. And he had been cauterized 7 times. And he was in so much pain, first of all from whatever illness he was going through, and then being cauterized, that hot metal being placed on your body in 7 places. So فقال سيدنا خباب رضي الله عنه, at this moment in time he's saying that إن أصحابنا الذين سلفوا مضوا, that our companions, our friends, الذين سلفوا, who lived before us, مضوا, they have gone. He's remembering all of the Sahaba who were his companions, colleagues. He said they've all gone. وَلَمْ تَنْقُصْهُمُ الدُّنْيَا. This dunya didn't manage to affect them. Didn't manage to decrease them. Matlab, the more dunya you have, the more deficient you are. This is what he's looking at. He's saying, dunya ne unko kam nahi kiya. Dunya unke andar kami nahi ki. Matlab, the more wealth you have, the more kami inside of you. This is his point. وَلَمْ تَنْقُصْهُمُ الدُّنْيَا. Dunya did not create any deficiency inside them. Dunya did not create any less inside of them. وَإِنَّا أَصَبْنَا مَا لَا نَجِدُ لَهُ مَوْضِعًا إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. And we cannot find anything. وَإِنَّا أَصَبْنَا. We have been given such things, meaning wealth, that we cannot find any place to put them except for soil. Matlab, we have so much wealth, ulama mentioned aydai means, we have so much wealth that the only thing we can do with them, because we've got nowhere to spend it, because so much money, the only thing we can do with them is bury it under the soil. Bury it under the soil. In those days there were no banks. So what they would do with lots of gold and silver is they would bury it under the ground somewhere. And sometimes they would forget where they buried it. Jesus, big musibah. What do we do now? Lost, forgot where the wealth was buried. Someone came saying that, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Sahib, I buried some wealth in my house a long time ago. And I thought I'll come back to it when I need. And now I've forgotten where it is, what should I do? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, go on. Read to, keep reading salah until inshallah Allah ta'ala will inform you. Allah ta'ala will figure it out. He came back very quickly. Back very quick. He said, I just started, Allahu Akbar, and I remembered where my wealth was. He said, did you finish your salah? He said, no, I broke my salah, and I went and I discovered my wealth. He said, well, at least you should have finished your salah to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, shaitan. Shaitan made you discover your wealth just so that you don't do ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the sight of shaitan, that wealth means nothing. He knows the value of that two rakats. Okay? So they would bury wealth underneath the ground. So either it means this, Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu anhu, saying, we've got so much money, we've got nothing to do with it, we just have to bury it in the ground. Or it means that we've got so much money, we have nothing else to do with it except build houses, build buildings. Either you keep the money, or people say, let's invest property, makan banao, makan kharido, Pakistan mein koti banao, build a house here, build a house there, buy this house here, I got too much money. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu is saying that we got so much money, there is nowhere else to place it except for in the soil, except for in the earth. And our companions who passed before us, this wealth did not decrease them at all. And had it not been for the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbade us from making dua of death, I would have surely asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me death. So I don't know, it's just too much money is coming my way and I'm getting very, very scared. Saying I'm getting very scared because I'm comparing myself to the Sahaba who have passed and I know they did not have any of this. And they went without being tainted, without being affected by any of this. And I'm worried the more time I spend in dunya, more and more and more wealth is coming. I would prefer to just go right now. But this is what they used to fear. Because they knew, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they knew that with the passage of time, things are going to get worse. They knew that. And that's why with the passage of time, they can see that even themselves are not spared from the effects of this dunya. So they say, I wish I could, you know, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had allowed it, I would have made dua for death right now. Then, ثُمَّ أَتَيْنَاهُ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Another time we came to visit him, and he was building a wall, Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu anhu. So he's building a wall, so you're doing a project, but his mind is not on the project. He is so despising this fact that he is building this. He must have had a reason, valid reason to build a wall. But as soon as we came to him, Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمَ لَيُؤْجَرُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ يُنْفِقُهُ إِلَّا فِي شَيْءٍ يَجْعَلُهُ فِي هَذَا التُّرَابِ. He's saying that the believer, Allah Ta'ala gives him reward for anything that he spends his money on, except for whatever he places in this soil, meaning buildings and things that you build. Allah, the believer is not given any reward for this. Because this is extra, unnecessary. And the Sahab, they would, for them unnecessary was whatever was too much room, too much space. Because they would always compare with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They would compare with the living quarters of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How small were their living quarters? Sayyidina Hassan Basri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was suckled by Ummu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was looked after by her. And he said, when I was a child, I was a small boy, I could stand and touch the ceiling on the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, that's how small it was. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were comparing with that. And they understood that successful means to have less of this. And the more you have of it, the more distant you are from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the lifestyle of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So they become scared. More money they would see, they become scared. He's building a wall, he probably has a need. But he's building it and he's scared. He's building it and he's remembering how the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in lived. Remember Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was fasting. He was fasting and someone brought him his iftar. It's very nice iftar. He saw the iftar and he said, my brother Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was buried, and he did not even have a shroud big enough to fit him. And you remember Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, he had such a shroud, if you covered his head, his feet would become exposed. If you covered his feet, his head would become exposed. So then we had to put grass over his feet and cover his head. And he said this, and he started to cry so much, and then he couldn't eat his food. He said, take my food away. Because they would always compare. So that's why it's very, very important to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lives of the noble sahaba ridwanullahi ajma'in, and compare. Because they themselves would compare. The success means to follow in their way. And the further we are from their way, the less we are on the path of success and the path of goodness. Okay? In this day and age of materialism, it's more important, most important, that we keep connecting ourselves to their ways. We keep connecting our a'mal to their a'mal. We keep comparing our a'mal to their a'mal. We keep comparing our lifestyle to their lifestyle. Wherever we find weakness, we do plenty of istighfar and we try and improve. We try and improve. Allah Ta'ala has given me a golden opportunity. It's the point of this chapter. Every second, every moment, there is weakness in me. My life is so far from the lives of the noble Sahaba, from the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I need to improve. I need to increase. With wisdom, with hikmah, under the guidance of teachers, I need to make myself a better person. What are the things I can cut out from my life? What are the things I need to add to my life? How do I need to go about dealing with certain situations in the best possible manner? It's very, very important. Inshallah, we're ready to do this. Allah Ta'ala give me safal wa tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Inshallah, la ilaha illa anta.